teach in Novefa and stuff, and yeah, so maybe should maybe think about having a prototype for week six, which is next week. Yeah. So probably prioritize that.
Yeah, I'd say if the prototype, if you just like wherever possible, try to do the stuff that we have pre-annotated and stuff. And for the stuff that we don't have pre-annotated, write like a stupid baseline, and we should probably be able to basically, that means we focus on the interface first of all, so that we take the ready-made parts and just see how we get them work together in the interface the way we want. And then we have a working prototype, and then we can go back and replace pieces either by our own components or by more sophisticated components of our own.
Yeah, I mean, if we just want to have some data for the user face, it could even be random data.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Also, like the similarity thing, like just my matrix itself, for my stuff, I think I can do it very quickly because I have the algorithm.
Yeah.
I think today's meeting is really the one where we sort of settle down the data structure, and as soon as we have that, probably like after today's meeting, then we actually need to, go back first of all and look at my XML to see how far that which we want is compatible with that my XML offers us. And then it's just sort of make sure everyone understands the interface. So I think if today we decide on what data we want to have now, and later maybe even today we go and look at my XML or someone will look at my XML in a bit more detail, just try to make some sense of that code and see how does the representation work in their system. And then sort of with that knowledge, we should be able to then say, okay, that's how my XML data we want to load into it, and this is how everyone can access it.
Has anyone actually looked at the Java code for that?
Yeah. I've just looked at the documentation and like seen enough to make me think that we want to use the NightXML framework because they have a good event model that synchronizes sort of the data and every display element, so it takes a lot of work away from us. So that would be a reason for staying within their framework and using their general classes. But beyond that, I haven't looked at it at all.
Yeah.
Who actually, like, for this whole discussion, I mean, who of us is doing stuff that is happening online and who of us is doing stuff that's happening offline? Like, my data is coming. Basically, apart from the display module, the display is that we don't have an extremely high degree of interaction between sort of our modules that create the stuff and the interface. So the interface is mainly while it's running, just working on data that's just loaded from a file, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know the search functionality that might be on the things how it's going to work.
Yeah, and yeah, the search is, I guess the search is a strange beast anyway. Believing that NightXML framework. But that's still stuff that's good. It means that at least like we don't have the type of situation where somebody has to do like a billion calculations on data online. That would make it a lot more like that would mean that our interface for the data would have to be a lot more careful about how it look at their code, like how their variables forward and how that moving forward is represented in different windows and stuff. So I think in the actual browser itself, I don't want to sit on the SQL if you can sit on the XML, because sitting on the XML you have all we have so much help. And for like the calculations that we're doing, apart from the search, it seems everyone needs some special representations anyway.
What if we didn't do that? We should try and store everything in an XML format as well.
You mean our results?
Yeah.
Yeah, in the nice XML format, so with the timestamps and stuff, so that it's...
Yes.
Chunks are the individual meetings, whereas, and then you can click on a meeting, and then sort of the meeting is the whole thing, and the chunks are the individual segments. That means sort of we have multiple levels of representation, which we probably, if we do it this way, like we have to discuss it, if we do it this way, then we should probably find some abstraction model so that the interface, in the sense, like, deals with it as if it's the same, so that the interface doesn't really have to worry whether it's a meeting in the whole meeting series or a segment within a meeting, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's probably stuff that we have to sort of like process twice, then like, for example, that like the summary of a meeting within the whole meeting corpus or meeting series. The meeting series is a good word, but I don't really know what, how to call it. You know what I mean? Like, not the whole corpus, but every meeting that has to do with one topic.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so in the meeting series, and then a summary for a meeting within the meeting series is sort of compiled offline by a summary module, and that is separate from a summary of a segment within a meeting. So I don't think
I'm not so sure. I thought we would just have like one big summary with only different importance levels displayed on it, and depending on what our zoom level is, we just display a part of it.
So are we doing that at all levels? Are we,
I mean, we would have one very big thing offline, and from that we would just select what we are displaying. Yes. So, for example, you would give a high value to those sequences you want to display in the meeting series summary, and you just cut off.
The only thing that would happen, basically, if I double-click, let's say, from the whole meeting series on a single meeting, is that the zoom level changes, like the start and the end position changes, and the zoom level changes.
That was what I thought. Yeah, I thought. But I think the difference might be that we would just want to have the words, and that's not so much what he meant with not possibly loading everything, was that you load all the annotation stuff, all the sound files, all.
Would the summaries automatically
I'm getting quite lost at the moment, because what's our difference between the importance measure and the skimming? I mean, do we do both, or is it the same thing?
Well, the skimming's gonna use the importance.
Okay.
But like,
so, but when we talk about summaries, we talk about this about skimming and not about. Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, but isn't that the skimming?
Hmm?
Isn't that the skimming?
Oh yeah, it's just like there's like audio skimming and there's display skimming.
Yeah, but it uses the same data.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe there's some merit of going all together for utterance that you're not even bothered to calculate. I mean, if you have to do it internally, then you can do it, but maybe like not even store the importance levels for individual words and just sort of rank utterances.
The nice thing about that is that it looks like you're doing sentences,
mm-hmm.
more or less.
Yeah.
So it'll make more sense when you just extract.
It might be better skimming and less memory required at the same time. And I mean, if you know how to do it for individual words, then you can just, in the worst case, you can't find anything else, just sort of make the mean of the words of the utterance. You know what I mean?
Okay. So what would it be worth
it? What's the smallest chunk at the moment you're thinking of assigning importance measure to? Is it a word or is it an utterance? We're thinking of like maybe just storing it on a preference level. Because it's less stuff to store probably for Dave in the audio playing, and for in the display it's probably better if you have whole utterances than, I don't know, like slightly just
mm-hmm.
words out of utterances that probably don't make any sense at all, whereas it just show important utterances, but the utterance as a whole it makes more sense. So it doesn't actually make a difference for your algorithm, because it just means that if you work on a word level, then you just mean it.
And yeah, I think we also thought about combining that measure with the measures I get from hotspots and so on.
Yeah.
So that would also be on a trans level, I think.
Yeah,
I think.
I think we should filter
average,
it.
Average over a whole utterance, words, and there are quite unimportant words in there, but quite important words as well. I think we should just disregard them.
Maybe we should have like a cutoff, so that a word only gets a value if it's above a certain threshold. So
okay.
Anything that has less than, say, 0.5 importance gets assigned to 0.
Well, we could pre-filtering of sort of the whole thing,
yeah,
sort of like, but that, like, the problem with that is it's easy to do in the text level, but that would mean it would still play the air in your audio, unless we sort of also store what pieces we cut out for the audio.
Yeah.
I think before we can, like, answer that specific question, how we deal with that, it's probably good for us to look at what the audio player is capable of doing.
I think that's the buffer. But I don't think it'll be very hard. I think it'll be like an hour or two to work.
So what do you mean the buffering? Like, you think that
like just build another WAV file essentially.
Mm, just concatenate
yeah,
together.
I mean,
yeah, but not store it on the hard disk and then load it in, but load it indirectly from
memory. Yeah. So just like there's bound to be like a media WAV object or something like that. And just
it's
build
probably a stream if it exists in Java, probably some binary stream.
Yes, sure. Yes.
What's this lazy loading thing? Somebody explain lazy loading.
It just means it on demand, it unloads when it needs a particular type of file, like when it's being accessed.
So that, is that only by type of file? Like if the same thing is in different files, would it then maybe, like, you know, if addresses are split over 3 or 10 or 100 different files, is that a chance maybe that it doesn't try to load them all into memory at the same time, but just...
Yeah, I think that's the idea, it just loads the particular
so
ones it needs.
In the first place, then it shouldn't ever fail, because then it should never...
But if you were doing a search over the whole corpus, you'd have to
yeah,
load them all.
Yeah, but it fails right when you load it, right?
Yes, what? Perhaps it has a defined baseline on what it loads. For example, it loads all the utterances and so on, but it doesn't load the discourse acts and, for example, not the, what else was there? Not the summaries. It only loads those on demand.
Series chunks representing the individual meetings, like something that represents the whole series in a structure very similar to the structure in which we represent individual meetings, but the data sort of always combined from the whole series. So instead of having a single utterance that we display, it would probably be like that would be representing a whole topic, a segment in a meeting. And so that
you mean that you basically split up the big thing into different summaries? For example, that you have a very top level summary and a separate file for each level?
Segments within meetings as if they were utterances, you know, so it's just we shifted one level up.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, we could probably use the same algorithm and just like make like one or two ifs that say, okay, if you are on whole document, whole series level, and that was a double click, then don't just go into that segment but load a new file or something like that. But in general, use the same algorithm. That would be an alternative if you can't actually load the whole thing. And also, like, even if we maybe this whole, like, maybe I'm worrying too much about the whole series in one thing to say, because Yeah, and then you sort of feed the timestamp to the NAT XML central manager, and that central manager alerts everything that's there, like alerts the skim, like the audio display, alerts the text display, alerts the visual display, and says we have a new time frame, and then they all sort of do their update routines with respect to the current level of zooms or half the display, and starting position at where the, or maybe the mid position of it, I don't know, like if you start where the thing was found, or if the thing were, was found is in the middle of the part that you display, that I don't know what everything is that about, but in general, sort of, it's the same thing if, like whether you play and it moves forward, or whether you jump to a position for research, it's essentially, for all the window handling, it's the same event.
Yeah.
It's only that the event gets triggered by the search routine, which sort of pushes it into NAT XML and says, please go there now.
So we should basically make our own XML memory that everyone's module changes that rather than the underlying data, and then have that XML and my XML document tied to the instance.
Why do we need to be memory?
Well, you can make it in file if you want.
I mean, like, the information is coming from offline. So, we probably don't even have to change the utterance document, right? Because the whole way, like, the whole beauty of the NAT XML is that it ties together lots of different files, so we can just create an additional XML file for every utterance. Like, the utterance is IDs, I presume, some references. So we just
yes.
We tie just a very short XML file, it's the only information it has. Whatever a number for the weight for the information that's there, we just tie that to the existing utterances and tie them to the existing speaker changes.
But there's no ID for the utterance,
it's
just for the regular
utterance.
So how do we do that?
No, it's for. No, you're right. Yeah, it's for.
Segments for each utterance are split up.
Yeah.
Also.
Well, otherwise we probably have to go over and like add some integer that we just increment from top to bottom, sort of every utterance as an ID. Some or try to understand how NAT XML IDs work, and maybe that's some special rules we have to follow when we use these IDs.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's already there.
Hmm?
Pretty sure that's already there. The utterance also numbered.
So I guess that would be solved with it.
Yeah, we're just going to have a look at the timestamps and then take the ones that belong together from the print.
No, I think we would just take the segments that are already. Yeah, there's this segments file, you know, the XML segments. Then I don't know.
For every utterance, sort of like the utterance has a speaker and a weight which is coming from outside, or which is tied to it, and there is segments, which
they are utterances, aren't they?
Hmm?
The segments are.
Yeah, that's the impression I get.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah, that's
topic segments. I meant like they are super segments. So the utterances are tied to topic segments. And if the timestamps are on a word level, then we somehow have to extract timestamps for references.
There are timestamps for the segments. And for segments is, for example, when you look at the data, what is displayed in one line. When you look at it in the...
Is that the same as utterances?
I think so, isn't it? I compared it with what I did for the pause duration extraction, and basically it's words that are uttered in a sequence without pauses, but sometimes, however, there are short pauses in it, and they are indicated by square brackets, pause, or something in the data. The annotators decided what was one segment and what wasn't. I think so. Yeah, but I think for some annotations, an utterance can have several types. For example, for the dialogue acts and so on.
Yeah, no, but I was thinking of the topic that
okay,
you're thinking
yeah,
of.
That should be for.
For
so
that, there would only be one, right? Because it's sort of like, it's just
yeah,
a time window.
Mm-hmm. Should be, yeah.
Otherwise, we'll be recalculating.
integration.
Yeah, but also like all these elements, like the loading and yeah, integration and like handling the data loading and stuff.
I don't know if anyone's been allocated to do that yet.
I'm sort of like, I think I'll take over the display just because I started with it and found it.
Yeah.
Found it beautiful.
Yeah, definitely.
So somebody should sort of be the one person who's who understands most about what's centrally going on with the project, like with the browser as a whole and where the data comes in and. It's also complicated.
Yeah,
yeah.
It could be difficult. Yeah.
I know. I guess we can do it like several people together. It's probably just they have people to work together a lot and very closely and just make sure that they always understand what the other one's doing.
Yeah. Well, I guess the important thing is to get the crucial modules built.
At least simple versions.
Yeah,
or
then
ready-made versions of them for that matter.
Yeah, and then we'll maybe have to prioritize somebody into integrating it.
Yeah, but I think actually, like, at the moment the integration comes first, and it's sort of at the moment the building the browser comes first, and then only comes the creating new sophisticated data chunks, because that's sort of the whole thing about having a prototype system, which is more or less working on chunked data, but at least we have the framework in which we can then test everything and look at everything. Before we have that, it's going to be very difficult for anyone to really see how much the work that they're doing is making sense, because it just, well, I guess you can see something from the data that you have in your individual XML files that you create, but it would be nice to have some basic system which just displays some stuff.
So maybe we should try doing something really simple, like just displaying a whole meeting, and like just being able to scroll through it, or something like that.
Or just adapt, like, there, and
yeah.
Just sort of go from their system and adapt it piece for piece and see how we could arrange that, adapt that for our system. Does anyone want to like just sit with me and like play for 3 hours with Live XML at some point?
Are you free after
this? I wouldn't like to be, but like you're at the gym, I'm theoretically free, but if there's any time.
Friday.
You have nothing to do for time on Wednesday?
Wednesday I've got an hour until 12.
You have
got
or
nothing
you?
In the afternoon. I've got nothing in the afternoon.
Anytime Wednesday afternoon.
Okay, so yeah. Where about just an afternoon tower?
Yeah, or Forest 2, whatever one's easy to discuss stuff, I don't know.
I'll be in the afternoon tower anyway.
Okay. What time do you want to be?
Well, I'll be there from 12. I've got some other stuff that needs to go on that lab, so you're not there at 12. I'll just work on that.
Okay, so I'll just meet you in 18 and the other
one.
I guess at the moment nobody critically depends on like the Knight XML stuff working right now. Like at the moment no do the stuff and I can do my LSA stuff. And I can even do the display to a vast degree without actually having this line framework working. So it's not that crucial.
Yeah, I think so.
now we need the raw text for the screen because I have to find out how
I was more thinking of the whole browser framework as a running program now.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we all need the raw text in different flavors, don't we?
Yeah, I guess when I thought you said that you'd looked at extracting the text.
Yes, I did. But I've only just got the notes, so I have just to order everything by the time.
Yeah. So you said you did it in Python, right?
I think it's quite easy.
Yeah, did you use the XML parser in Python?
Yeah.
Right. Mm. Sounds pretty good. So, because I was having a look at it as well, and I noticed the speakers are all in that separate file. So that's a project and what I was going to do, so we may as well collaborate.
What we found out was that there are quite a lot of things without timestamps in the beginning.
In the word files.
Yes, but that's
yeah,
everything that's a word has a timestamp.
Yes, but what are the other things that's some kind of number? Maybe a file number or something that is in the beginning of the stuff?
I'm not sure what you mean.
I think there are quite a lot of numbers in the beginning and there's no timestamp for the numbers. It's and let's say quite a lot of numbers and before that
number within the XML context.
Yeah, there are numbers in the W tag, but there are no timestamps.
Are they spoken numbers? Like, do they look like they're utterances?
Yeah.
There's the number task, isn't there? That's
at the end.
Hmm?
That's at the end, I think.
Yeah,
every time.
All right.
Yeah, maybe. Didn't have a look at our meetings. I think it wouldn't, as it occurs. I mean, it would be occurs in every meeting. So. And I think it even has its own annotation, like digits or something. So that should be really easy to cut out. Yeah, I'm sure. It's just to test the system, I think.
So.
I think it's also something that they set the numbers in order, right?
They have to read numbers.
Yeah, I think it sounded like they wanted to check out how well they were doing with overlapping and stuff. Because basically it's like they're reading them in different speeds, but you know in which order they are set.
I didn't have a look at that, so.
If you're doing IDFs or whatever you call your frequency load, you need some dictionary for that at some point, but you need to have some representation of a word as not that specific occurrence of the word token, but of a given word form, because you make
yeah.
Accounts for
just
form.
A dictionary.
Yes, we should work together on that, because I need a dictionary as well. The thing is, like, you can only burn from the local file system, so if it's from, well, actually, I think if it's mounted, you can directly burn from there, but the problem is I have my data on VPN, so I have to get it into the local temp directory and burn it from there, but you can burn from there.
How big is it without,
well, we know
the
WAD
files?
We know they don't have enough files.
Because I could just say,
downloading of a broadband by
yeah.
And then using the hard disk. There's something strange about the way how they access the hard disk how they mount it, which is unfortunate.
I'll see what I can see.
What operating system do you have? What connection do you have? So if anyone of us gets it, we can then just use
yeah,
it.
CD.
Hmm?
I can
yeah,
burn
it to CD
this.
Or yeah. Temps usually have a gigabyte per year. Temps, yeah. Like, I mean, there's no guarantee that everything stays there, but overnight it'll stay. I think the temps usually have. But that would have to be the temp directory of the machine you can SSH into directly of SSH.
Yeah, well, I can do it from that session as well. I can compress it from the remote session.
Yeah, they probably hate you for doing it. But they'd like you more if you SSH into another computer, compress it there, and then sort of copy it into the gateway machine.
Yeah.
Then if you SSH, you know, if you SSH, you get this big warning about doing nothing at all in the gateway.
Oh no, I was thinking of SSH just into some machine.
Yeah.
And then just actually.
Your home machine.
Yeah. I mean, it has to go through.
I haven't figured out how to tunnel through the gateway to another machine yet. It's not easy, definitely. That's why I end up sort of copying stuff into the temp directory at the gateway machine. Sorry if this is boring everybody else, but this just gives us enough good stuff for home.
Okay, I just wondered, so who's then doing the frequencies on the words, because I could also make use of it for the agreement and disagreement thing, because I in my outline I talked about using the discourse acts first, and then in the chunks of text I found looking for word patterns and so on. So I would, for example, need the most frequent words. So if you cut off all that, it wouldn't be
useful. Somebody gives me the raw text of the whole thing. I can probably just implement like a 5-line Java hash table frequency dictionary builder.
Yeah, but I need it for my chunks. Then I would, you know. Yeah, but I would like to look at the frequency of words in my in the regions of text I found out to be interesting. So I wouldn't need it. It would have to be recalculated only for my segments. I think it would be, you know, as big as the hotspot annotation things. That's quite small, yeah, that's some utterances.
You could use just the same thing we used to build the big dictionary, just do that online, so that one, build
Yes, yeah. So I would probably just concatenate all my text chunks and then let the same algorithm run over it.
But you don't want to have different counts for each chunk, which is like for something from all chunks.
Yes.
Oh yeah, no, that's yeah. So once I write an arg like if I write like an algorithm which does a hash table dictionary with frequency from the raw text, then the raw text can be anything. So how far are we? How far are you getting the raw text out of it, do you think?
I can get all the raw text, but it has to get all the stuff.
Okay, well that's good because for the dictionary you already
Doesn't
have
get
to
more,
get
no.
so yes, yeah, so I get that from you. And
definitely.
But on a listed level, whether there's some way to just represent meetings as topics.
Yeah, you just, like, whatever you want to look at, you just jam together into an Excel file, and that's your meeting, even though bits are very comfortable over the place or whatever. I don't see why that's really a good problem.
That's not really what I meant, but I think I should think more about what I'm.
So basically what you're saying is you can take an arbitrary amount of data and process it with the same algorithm. It doesn't matter conceptually what that data is. It could be a meeting, it could be two off-chain services, but even a meeting plus half a meeting from somewhere else.
I'm not so concerned about a meeting plus something else. I'm more talking about like keeping the same algorithm and the same way of handling it and just saying like just this topic here happens to be like a whole meeting and it has sort of subtopics, such as the sort of topics are around the concept. Where like topic, where there can be super topics and topics, and the super topics are in the end what the meetings are. But in general, at some level, super topics are treated like topics.
I don't think it's very difficult though. I mean, what you do is you just do an XML file, and if you wanted to get down to the utterances, you go to the release, and then if you wanted the next level up, you go to the parents of those and like just go from like the leaves and the store of the branch to build up things like you know, when you click on a segment or something like words or whatever that you call it. As long as like the algorithms are designed with that in mind, then I think it's very good.
So describe that again.
Well, like, say you had, like, say for a meeting, right, you've got, like, you know, say a hierarchy that looks quite big, like this. And, like, the utterances come up here, maybe. Then, when whatever your algorithm is doing, as long as when you're working with utterances for like, all the leads, like, then if you need something next up, so, like, a topic segment, to here, but if you were looking at say this one, so it only went like this, right, so you can say you'd start with the leads and you go, oh, I want a topic segment, so they're one layer up. See, and then if you're working with just a topic segment, then it's the only thing you have to worry about. And like each time you want a higher level, you just need to go arbitrary. As long as your algorithm respects that, then we can just process any arbitrary XML file with whatever hierarchy structure you want.
So that would be the series, I suppose, that would be sort of
a meeting and that being a topic segment.
I'm a bit brain damaged at the moment, but I think I should sit together with you again and go through it again.
So I think as long as you build an algorithm that respects whatever structure is in the file, rather than imposing its own structure.
So is this and this structure even always identical?
Well, no,
so that we can be, that we can treat it as an algorithm or?
But, I mean, it could be as many nodes as you want. Like this one could be deeper, maybe. So then you start with all the utterances here, and when you go up to get topic segments, you go here. That might be a bit confusing though, because you have things on different levels.
Yeah, I'm also not sure how we can go from
Yeah, I'm sure you had to deal with it last year.
Yeah. Cause that would be really useful, it's if we have a big directory so she could transfer and stuff. Having said that, we allowed to take a copy of the XU project. So I think you probably asked if we did.
I think you said yes to that. I think there were like in when we were still in the seminar room I asked it once or like asked is it possible to get off and nobody said like people were discussing about the technical practicalities, but nobody said anything about it being allowed to another one. I mean, we have access to it here, and I guess it probably means that we can't give it to anybody else. But if they give us access to it here, sitting on a dice machine, then there shouldn't be a reason why we shouldn't be able to use it on the laptop. I personally don't have too many friends who are too keen on getting it anyway.
No. Yeah, right. Yasmin, what is the text you're extracting looking like then at the end? Because I think it's actually very similar to what I did for my speaker extraction, and I think I would perhaps have to change two lines of code to get you for each meeting a file that says from this millisecond to this millisecond there was this sequence of words and so on. So that's just changing two lines of code and it would give you that. So yeah, so far I extracted the durations, but it's from the words file, so I could just concatenate the words instead of the durations, and it should be very straightforward. I can try to do it and send it to you, and you have a look at it. Well, that makes sense for what you want. Yeah, I mean, I just let it run over all the files, so. Yes, it is ordered. I ordered according to the starting times of the utterances. What do you mean by different? Yeah, I mean, I have one, what I give you would be one file for each meeting.
For each meeting?
Yeah, not for each meeting series. Okay. I didn't do that yet.
Just be careful that whenever we sort of merge together, that like the highest level of merging is not the whole XC corpus, but the original series.
Yeah, one group, yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's one series that has just one meeting. Yes. The data is of the form you have three identification letters, so B, E, D, or B, B, D, or something, and that's always the same group. And then after that, there's a number like 001, 002, so. Yeah, but that's really quite easy to see because
yeah, so
I named.
So like even if you make one single text file, which is the whole corpus of our corpus, it will still be from one series only. But what you're producing at the moment is like individual text files that sort of have the raw text for a meeting as a whole.
Yes. But I mean, as the start times start for each meeting at 0, you could just probably just add the final second time to the next meeting and so on and just put it all together. But then we would have to change the information about who on which channel it was set, to by which person it was set, and that is actually stored in another XML document. Yeah, I would then just not print out the start and end times. No, it's for every single word. Or for every single utterance, yeah, that depends on what you want. I do it with Perl, it's just string manipulation, so I would just. Sure. No, I didn't use it. No. And you would want that all in one file for all the corpus, or for the series? Yeah, I can directly put it to just then. So only words per meeting series. Yeah, they will just, I will just take over the names they have anyway. Yeah, one series has the same three starting letters, so only words and words and times, and you. Yeah, you want it ordered. Okay. Okay, anybody? ordered by start times. Yeah, and do you want. Yeah, sometimes they're contained in one another, so. Just after. Okay. Ordered. Only words. And I think for all the corpus, it's just from what I know from my times, it's 9 megabyte to have. I mean, should be similar to have the words. Should be. All the words together for all the meetings. That's what I'm guessing. That's, what I. Because 9 megabyte is what I got for. When I said for every utterance, this goes from there to there and takes X seconds. Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm doing it for all, but doesn't matter. Yeah, I mean, I hope it will be the same for the words. It's just what I.
Yes, I'm gonna build a dictionary then from that. Like, just a list of the words and maybe a list of the words with the frequencies or a list of the words sorted alphabetically or numerically. What does anyone want? Is any wishes for dictionaries?
I could just use it as the frequency, I think. I'd tell the information Dennis Stephen was finished. That would be really useful.
So, I'll probably send just one file of the first meeting to all those who need it so that you can have a look whether that's what you want. Yeah, I mean, if it's just for one meeting, it's really not too big. Yeah.
If you're doing it in Java, could you serialize the output as well as writing it to a file?
Sorry?
If you're doing it in Java, could you serialize the
In
tree
the hash table?
yeah, as well as writing it to a file?
Never serialized them.
Really easy.
Wouldn't that be absolutely massive then?
I don't see why it'd be any more massive than a file.
And then serialize and then write the serialization to a file?
Yeah.
So you want that as like a file which is the serialization of a
It just
hash table?
saves you passing the file representation of it in now, because I'll be using it in Java anyway. So I'll just be building the data structure again.
I'll check if I understand how it works. I mean, otherwise I can give you the code for loading a dictionary. It's just it's a line break separated file.
Yeah, it seems like a bit silly to be passing it over and over again.
Yeah, I see if I understand how to serialize this. There's a serialized command so that gives me what mega
I would
files.
have thought that I think all the collections and things implement serializable already.
Yeah, but do they automatically write to the file? Anyway, I think it's
I think they
enough.
might be.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So Dave and me look at how Midex works and
Tomorrow I'll try and I'll either work some more on TF-IDS on my own or do the audio thing.
I'll build a dictionary as soon as I get the text. And yeah, so that. When do we need to meet again then?
Dunno, I suppose we're just getting on with our components, so.
How are we going to put integers in next week?
We have to demonstrate something next week.
What do we have to demonstrate?
No, not demonstrate, but I didn't say that. I didn't be so agree that it would be useful in a demonstrator of it, like some primitive thing working.
Yeah, it suggested that an initial prototype.
It's going to be very prototype.
I know, I'd be surprised if we can get anything working.
Oh, that's good. So, You have random emails anyway.
Sorry?
You have random emails anyway.
Me?
Yeah.
As if I was working. Unfortunately, the test that we have for the videos are only an hour long. So we lost the last 20 minutes, but.
Oh, well.
That's cool. Missed this in one more. Cheers.
Okay, so next time after 1 hour, you can start to read it.
No, I'll get some more, sorry.
Did you use any machine learning to record it really?
I haven't, no, there has been anything for baseline system. I don't understand machine learning. I've done 4 years of AI staying clear of machine learning, which is quite a feat in itself. I've done everything else. I've done every form of computation, linguistics, genetic algorithms, neural networks, like just neural networks is machine learning.
Yeah,
but like nothing that has rules.